Depends where you work. Like, if I work at Harvey's and I'm posting racist shit, like, I actually don't think you should fire someone for that. Malik, we are back.
We are back.
Baby.
Let's go. Episode 17.
Yeah. Took the week off. We're refreshed. We did a lot. We'll talk about that, but we're back. We're in it. How are you feeling,
man? We're back. We're in it, man. I don't even like to say that we took a break. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's the summer cadence, bro.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much happening this summer. It's a wild ride.
We outside.
Yeah. But we still deliver. Things are good, man. It's a little hazy outside. Remember, like, the other week where we talked about, like, the smoke or whatever?
Yeah, you still feeling it?
I feel like it's back, bro. Like, I feel like it's lingering. Like, do you think this is going to be something that we have to live with, like, forever? Like,
I don't even notice it, so maybe I've already normalized it, you know?
Like, I don't notice it either. Yeah. Like, I don't notice it when I'm outside breathing, but, like, I look outside, and it's, like, it's still got a bit of, like, a haze. Like, it's still kind of, like, got that, like, smoky haze outside, so... Yeah.
Every time I feel like we talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to find out an update and then update y'all later. I don't look this up.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd never look this up.
I probably should.
But, yeah.
You know, I was in Quebec and I didn't notice anything, really. And that was where the source of, like, the issue.
Oh, yeah, because the wildfires were crazy in Quebec. Bro.
What have you been saying, man, before I get to my Quebec trip?
Man, a lot of wedding stuff, bro. I had the pleasure of emceeing my girlfriend's brother's wedding this last weekend.
Shout out.
You know, I got a knack for it, bro. This is the second wedding.
You mean you can talk on a mic?
Yeah. Who would have guessed? Whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is the second MC duty that I had in the last 4 weeks. So I've done it twice. Been the best man already in one of them. MC'd this one as well. We're going to another wedding in a couple weeks. A couple weeks after that, we got our other one. But these next two, I just get to sit back and relax. No one ever talks about, like, how much work goes into, like, MC. I'm not going to say, like, weddings, but, like, the duties of, like, a groomsman or an MC or, someone as part of, like, the party. It's a lot of work, man. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot you have to plan for, a lot that you have to, like, think about. So when it's time for you to start going to, like, a bunch of weddings for your friends and whatnot, you'll realize that you're like, damn, like, there's a lot of shit that I gotta do.
I'm gonna turn down every MC request, pretty much.
I mean,
you'd be
good at it, though. You'd be good at it. Yeah. So if I asked you to MC my wedding, you wouldn't pull up.
We gotta do a live podcast.
We'll do a live podcast at the wedding. Things are good, man. Things are fun.
Can people hire you for this? Or
I did make a joke where I was like, and if you're interested, you know, I'll give you guys my email. I'll send you my rates. You know, everyone got the crowd laughing.
Malik joke.
All you got to do is just.
I know all your tricks.
Yeah, okay? I know. You've seen them for way too long. Exactly. But, all good, bro. How was the big MTL?
Montreal was a vibe, man. This is actually the first time I've left Toronto all year, which is crazy.
Damn.
Like, I've just been in the city the whole time. So it felt good just to be in a different city, pretty much. Just mobbing out. Great weather. Day parties, good times, getting bottles with the boys, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what we do, man. It was a great time, close friends and all that. Met some new people out there.
Yeah. Montreal is also a vibe in the summer, bro.
Dude,
I love Montreal.
I'll put it, like, pretty close to Toronto in terms of summers.
I think it's, like, I mean.
Very arguable, people could say it's way better.
It's very arguable. You know? I haven't spent enough time in Montreal in the summer to give it a proper, like, evaluation. But I will say the last time I was in Montreal in the summer was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was, man, it was popping. It was sick.
When they close the street
down. They close the street, you can just walk through it and everything, man. Like, that's the type of shit that makes, like, cities cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like there's not, maybe, like, not in this area, like, a place that you can, like, really just, like, dive in and do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do, like, Dundas West Fest for, like, a weekend here. Yeah. But if that was for, like, a whole summer, imagine.
It'd be such an inconvenient vibe, like,
for drivers. Yeah, but I mean, hey, I'm a pedestrian out here. You feel me?
You know, straight up.
Other than that, been chilling. I got a couple cousins from Jamaica young cousins visiting.
Respect.
Yeah, let's cut that out. No, I'm joking. No, they're visiting Canada for the first time on a flight. They just came in a few days ago.
Oh, shit.
They're staying here for like about 6 weeks. So
oh,
like,
damn. Here we go.
Daycare duty. I was at the park trying to, you know, wrangle everyone together. There's all these kids, and I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed, man.
It's a bodmon ting, bro.
Yo, you're doing a lot.
It's a mad ting, man.
Yeah. No, it's a good time, though.
That's legit, bro.
But we missed out on a lot of topics.
We did. Let's get into our let's call it bi-weekly recap. A lot of shit kind of going down in the city, man.
We have a lot.
Good and bad. This is gonna be an up and down episode, but as we do, we got to report on kind of like the weekly events, what's happening in the city. Yeah. There's a kind of like a community center, or like not a halfway home, but a place where, almost like kind of like a homeless shelter type of facility that's kind of right in the heart of like the downtown core, Queen and Peter. And in the last week or so, all these homeless people, all these refugees, people who have, you know, don't have a lot of money, you know, addicts, or kind of like thrown out onto the street because there's just not capacity to be able to like manage and deal with these people. I'm not exactly sure how this kind of started and came to be in the last couple of weeks. Someone can kind of educate me on that.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's a lot of people out on the streets, and it's causing like madness kind of downtown. And when you think about, like, obviously the politics are one thing and the support is one thing. People are out in the streets, man, and like people need help. Like,
yeah,
community, and when things like this kind of happen, it's up to communities to help like serve people and make sure that, you know, people are being taken care of. And like, man, like right in the heart of like the downtown core and the West End, like,
bruh,
it's very difficult. That's right around where you live too.
Right around where I live. I won't dox my address, but I mean, it's unfortunate because like multiple sides of it are affected, right? Like you have the people that just live in that area that feel unsafe because there's a high police presence because of, you know, the homeless people around there. There are fights that break out. There are situations that happen. You know, there's drug abuse. You're seeing that all in your community, and it's, you know, it can be scary for a lot of people that aren't used to dealing with that.
Yeah.
And then you also have the folks that literally have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So look at it from their lens as well. So they might turn to substance abuse or
like
might
stealing or anything like
fight
that.
Fight for their life, pretty much, for space or for, you know, whatever it is. So both sides, there's no...
It causes
no wins here. There's no, you know what I mean? Like,
it causes a lot of friction in communities, right? Yeah. And it's like, to your point, like no one's wrong here. I think people who live in that area, I would say like definitely do your best to be empathetic towards like people who are like literally thrown out in the streets. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, who have nothing going for them. Like that's terrible.
You can't look at them as less.
You can't look at them as the bad guys. You know what I mean? Which like, unfortunately, a lot of people of privilege definitely do. And listen, like I felt uncomfortable being around, you know, people who might have weapons on them or people who are, have substance abuse, you know, problems, all that kind of stuff, just because it can be very unpredictable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, like, understand the situation that they're put in, and it's like, you know, up to communities and local governments to help make sure that those people, like, everyone feels safe and everyone feels protected. It's not this person's problem. It's not that person's problem. It's not us versus you kind of situation, which I feel often very much it is. It feels like it.
Yeah, yeah. If you ever actually talk to people and on how they feel, like,
oh yeah,
not in a recorded area or not in like a you know, a corporate setting, they will be very raw about how they feel about this.
Yeah, totally, man. I've heard comments, I'm not going to name names here, from people that I've been close with.
Yeah.
And they're just like, when there's like a tent or something in Liberty Village that was put up, and they're just like, he lived in Liberty Village, and he was like, oh, well, why don't they just push them to Mississauga or push them somewhere?
Why they pick here?
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what's, they do, you
yeah,
know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Like, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry it's an inconvenience to you, but it's like, you know, it was also a very incredibly insensitive thing to say. But
It's tricky. It's such a multi-layered issue that, like, I don't have a solve for. I can be completely honest. I don't know how that situation gets fixed. There's so many levels to it. There's infrastructure. There's, you know, substance abuse. There's all of these things that I don't know how to solve. But I don't see it being talked about enough either.
Yeah, straight up.
How to get to the – if it's a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, Tell me what that plan is.
Yeah, though, like show me how we're helping people, how and do don't we get and there? Don't start it with policing.
Yeah,
like don't start it with that, or that else like you know it's yeah. It's clear that that doesn't work.
Yeah,
and we'll probably get the horse cop kids back on this one. Like I get it, you guys are bring them back, whatever. Yeah. But like we have to realize like that's not fixing the problem. Here's a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Is like do like I was talking with it about this with someone from my work, and she was saying like. We have like an EDI committee. So many companies have EDI committees and like support plans and stuff like that. Like, do you think like brands should have a responsibility to come in and help? Or brands who have money, brands who have like pledged to support people? Like,
yeah.
Is there an angle there?
Yeah, because it's not really a stance you hear pushed often.
Yeah.
Nor
is it an opportunity to be like, oh, I can look really good here if I help out.
You can't really do this kind of work and not be about it. I don't know. It's a great question because like I don't really see a lot of brands in that space. Number one of like we want to, you know, it's not like end world hunger, but like we want to, you know, commit to ensuring people are housed. Like I never really hear that message from a brand.
Yeah.
Because
it's not safe.
Because it's not safe, and because those folks that you want to help aren't going to buy your brand potentially.
Yeah.
That's like the skeptical, sardonic view on it of like they can help other communities like the LGBT community, for example, because those people might turn in favor and like help that brand succeed.
Sure.
But when it's someone that doesn't have anything.
Like where's my payoff?
Where's my payoff?
Yeah.
Maybe that's like too cynical.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't really see that messaging often.
I totally hear you. So maybe this is a question for the audience. Like, is there room for brands to help support?
Yeah.
And if so, what does that look like?
What does that look
Because it's not an opportunity. But let's keep going. Let's go.
We got a lot to fly through.
We got a lot to fly through.
Yeah.
Listen, we got the Lil Uzi album. We talked about it last week. First hip-hop album to reach number one in the charts this year.
It beat our boy, what's his name? Morgan Wallen,
man. Like, how do you feel? Like, you've been a couple of weeks removed from the album. Like,
I don't listen to it at all. I won't lie.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple, like the one with Travis Scott, the one with Don Toliver is crazy.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, there's maybe like three or four songs I go to. Other than that, it's like a 20 song album, right?
So yeah.
That's a very low percentage.
Yeah.
Not really.
I hear you. Listen, like, I like a few songs off it. I fuck with it. But
yeah.
The fact that this number one is a bit surprising to me, especially considering, like, we talked about the Gunna album.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Right, it was pretty fire.
Like, I'd put the Gunna album over Lil Uzi.
It's timing, man.
I will say.
I think it's timing. I think the Morgan Wallen ran out of steam a little bit. It was number one for a long time, and Uzi was just, it's the right timing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a better album than Gunna, but. We'll see, man. I want to look at the end of the year and see how many kind of albums have hit that mark. But
still chasing 2016, man. Still chasing 2016. I'm not sure if we'll ever get it back.
Probably not.
Anyways.
Let's move on to one of the biggest things that happened in the last couple of weeks. Instagram Meta launched Threads. This new app that's basically Twitter.
Yep.
Like they call it the microblogging platform. It is literally the same UI of Twitter, same functionality. You can retweet kind of statuses that you post and the whole community and things like that. But 114 million users after a week and a half. They had about 30 million in like 5 hours sign up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is crazy because they're leveraging people that have Instagram accounts, right? And the cool thing about it, you can call it cool or whatever, is that when you sign up for Threads, you can just have everyone that you have on Instagram that has Threads, they will now become a follower of yours.
Oh, okay.
So you can just import followers.
Oh, you don't have to like start from
scratch.
Yeah.
And I think that's where like
It's clever.
Because I think the big barrier of us like starting a new social platform is like I have to start at zero.
Yeah.
Zero followers, what the fuck?
Yeah, start from the bottom.
So this like kind of curbs that fear and allows you to have maybe 100, 150, 200, whatever followers from the beginning. They're already kind of seeing a decline in usage, but I don't think that's really like a fair stat because obviously people are going to jump
inflated at the beginning.
Yeah, and then people are going to be like, actually, I don't really care that much about this, and then they're going to drop off, right?
Yeah.
So I think you got to give it a bit of time. What's interesting also that I saw was that Instagram has 2.5 billion with a B monthly active users. So if they can just continue to grab like a small set of that, like they're like gonna be.
Oh yeah, you're good to go.
Gonna be good, right? But I know you haven't downloaded it, but what are your thoughts on?
To be honest, yeah. Well, I mean, it's out of all of the copycat.
Yeah, it's another apps, copycat.
It's another copycat. Yeah. But like, this has a use case. I feel like this is talk like probably the most successful.
Yeah.
You know, copy of an app that we've seen that people are actually using. And yeah, I think people are excited about it.
Right.
I think if you're Twitter, like, this is a really bad news story, man. Dude, like, Twitter's a year and a half, dude, a year and a half ago, there's no problems.
Yeah.
Twitter is just man, we're Twitter, we're here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just so unfortunate how, like, it's become so polarized and just ruined, essentially. And, like, I saw on LinkedIn today that Twitter saw a 50% decrease in advertising revenue.
I saw that, Chris.
That's fucking insane.
Elon is panicking.
Yeah. Like that is wild. Yeah. Like it's like, okay, shit. Like I was put in charge to like buy this thing and make money off of it. And now I'm actively losing, you know, 50% of my advertising revenue. Like that speaks for something.
They're losing a lot of money. Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah. And it's tough for like the business, but at the same time, it's like, it's the way she goes. Right?
So could you see this replacing Twitter? Not like, Twitter is never going to be out of here completely, but do you think?
I think it's doing like the best that it can right now to like snatch as much of that market share as possible. And this is a very successful way that they're doing it.
Yeah.
I think like, I'm not going to say that Twitter's going to go away, but like we're already seeing that, you know, Meta is making it easier for people to like, hey, sign 100%. Up for this. We'll port everything over. Like, you didn't lose anything out of this, by the way. Like, you're like, we got you.
Yeah.
That's a really smart way to like approach
100%.
It.
100%. Yeah. Like, I think they're geniuses for that shit.
Yeah.
I think timing has been perfect because apparently Mark Zuckerberg has been trying to buy Twitter since 2010.
Yeah.
Twitter launched in like 2008 or something like that, but they turned him down. So like now he's like, all right,
now
fuck
he's
you,
like,
let
me look. Yeah, now this is the revenge show right here.
The thing is, I don't know if it will like beat it because they serve two different audiences. Like what I think is good about Twitter and you're not on it is that you don't really need, you can be pretty anonymous on Twitter.
Yeah.
Versus Threads, you have to have it tied to an Instagram account.
Yeah.
It can't be a solo. So you can't really like say the most outlandish shit in the world because like.
Someone's watching me.
And that's what Twitter is, if we're being honest. A lot of it is like the most out-of-pocket shit that you want to be able to say. Free speech, whatever you want to call it.
Man.
On Instagram, it's a little different.
I have to be responsible for my actions.
And I think that's going to be a big reason why a lot of people maybe avoid it. But can't delete Threads unless you delete your Instagram profile. They're tied together.
Oh, that's...
So like...
Eh. Well, that's not that bad. That's not that bad.
That's like the only app I've known that has done that, though. Like, yeah, I can't think of another example of like two apps that are like tied to each other like that.
Yeah.
You know? We'll see, man.
We'll see.
I think we got to give it like, months to really see what happens. Like by the end of the year, give our like update on where Threads is at. Is it still at 114 million? Is it way beyond that? Whatever the numbers are, but... Too soon to like be reporting on like, oh, drop in usage and like obviously.
Yeah. You know? Let's monitor it. Let's see. Even like a 3-month check-in might be kind of nice. Exactly. Hopefully it doesn't end up like Clubhouse. We all know how that one goes.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Clubhouse, bro. Oh, all right, let's get into it. Because we got some good discussion points today. So this topic came about because I was in a cab on the way to work.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like an open dialogue, kind of like talk show. And the whole premise of it was like someone like lost their job or like something like that over something that they were like posting online or like their online behavior.
Okay.
I don't know if like this person was posting like explicit content, like an OnlyFans or something like that. But this person was fired because of essentially what they posted on social media.
Yeah.
This is not a black and white, you know, question. So I'm not expecting a black and white answer.
Yeah.
But do you think that your employer should be able to fire you based on what your social media activity is?
It's so crazy because it's like, I want to say no, but you could go so far into this of like the darkest possible post or whatnot. And it's like, I think fundamentally my answer is no, though. And I don't know if you remember like when Facebook was first kind of starting out and like teachers would be like, be careful what you post because like they'll fire you or like they won't hire you. They scrub your Facebook and find, you know, if you have a bong in your picture, you're not getting hired. I don't know how much all of that was really true, but I guess we can have a discussion about it, but I generally don't think you should fire someone based on their social media profile, depending on what you do.
Okay. And
depending on what you do.
For sure. And I think that's like kind of like more or less what my answer is. But it's like, you know, if I go out there and I post something like very opposite to what my company's values are. Like, for example, I come out and I start talking about like an alt-right, like, you know, neo-Nazi group that I'm trying to organize. Yeah. Like,
you work at where?
anywhere company, at that point.
Yeah.
Like, does the company have the grounds to fire me because of that?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nah, not really, but depends where you work. Like, if I work at Harvey's and I'm posting racist shit, like, I actually don't think you should fire someone for that. I personally, I would love to see them get fired for it, but I don't think that should be mandatory.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what does that have to do with flipping burgers?
Sure, but it's also like, I would say it's like a commentary on like
who they are as a person.
Yeah, and why are we so this is where we need to get into it,
right?
Because you can say in some cases yes, in some cases no, but like what are the nuances between those some cases? Like if I'm a teacher and I'm educating students and I also have like an OnlyFans account or I'm like a stripper or something like that, like I could very much see like, you know, parents being like, I don't want that person to teach my kids.
Why?
Well, it's because they're being very explicit, they're showing off their body, they're like doing things that like don't necessarily fit the description of like what a teacher is and what like subtle nuanced roles and responsibilities that job comes with.
Yeah. That's right? Like an archaic view.
I don't necessarily disagree. I think it would be weird. I think it would be very strange if like my kid was going to class and like I also knew that his teacher was a stripper on the side. Like I wouldn't feel super comfortable about that.
Yeah, I think it would be weird, or I think like the problem that I would have, and I'm not a parent. Obviously, when I am a parent, I might feel differently.
But sure.
Looking at this kind of objectively, I would say that as long as the teacher is not bringing that in any sort of way to school and they are still conducting themselves in a proper, whatever we deem proper manner, what they do outside of the school is up to them as long as it's not illegal.
Yeah.
You know?
From my point of view,
So
it's like whether you're, conducting some type of explicit or inappropriate conduct that like shouldn't, you know, blend itself into the workplace. Like I totally don't disagree with that.
It'll still find its way.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it'll necessarily find its way.
Yeah.
But it begs the question, like the real question behind the question is like, is your life actually private? Like, we're now blending the world of, you know, at work versus at home. Like, I can say something to someone at work that's incredibly inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm totally making this up. I am making this up.
Okay.
I promise.
Yeah, disclaimer.
But it's like, if I'm talking to someone at work who shares like a same hateful view as I do towards a specific group of people, and I'm talking to them about that in a meeting room where it's like in a private location and nobody else can hear me versus posting it online where it's visible to the world, which one is more inappropriate? Which one is fireable?
Yeah.
Because you're technically bringing that conversation into the workplace despite not being able to be heard, but then also you're hiding it at home, but you're posting it publicly, just not in the physical confines of your workplace.
What's that saying? Like, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it,
like did it happen kind of thing?
It's that type of
totally
thing, I guess, right? But I think, okay, so it's one of those things where it's like, should they have the right? No, but be smart.
I don't disagree.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know that, okay, you have a right to do a lot of things in life. Like, you have the right to free speech. You can say whatever you want. but there are consequences. Like, be smart. You realize you can, sure, technically, legally, you can say whatever you want, but there are consequences that come with it. So I think, sure, post whatever you want, legally, whatever it is, you think that they can't fire you, they will find a way. Be smart.
For sure.
You know, I think it can get very, it can be so unfair, though, in some cases, because, like, there are situations where teachers have been fired for posting, it's not even sexually explicit content, but just, like, you know, if they are a thicker woman, for example, and they're showing themselves on TikTok in certain dresses, they could be fired for that because the students find it and the parents find it, and then they report it to the principal, and the principal doesn't want this to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
They let go of the teacher for that. And it's like, did they do anything illegal? No. Did they do anything that is that inappropriate? No. It's literally just their body type looks a certain way. If a skinnier person wore that same dress, it wouldn't be a bigger issue.
Well, then it's then it's becoming an issue of, like, an individual versus, like, a wider problem. And this is where I think, like, the challenging part about this question is that there's no consistent way to deal with a specific problem.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like, I don't know. I definitely think that you should be able to be fired if I were to say, like, something like racist or hateful or prejudice on the internet, and my employer found out. Like, I would expect to be fired. Like, I wouldn't be caught off guard. I wouldn't. I think some people feel very differently.
Yeah.
But like, again, let's use the teacher analogy. If I found out that my teacher,
teacher is crazy. Was like educating the youth
for
like
sure. was responsible for, like, organizing a hate group or something like that outside of the confines of, like, the school, their time in it, their profession or whatever. Like, I would not want my kid to be taught by that person.
Yeah. I think for certain professions, there's a certain level of standard that they have to adhere to, versus if there's someone that works literally almost any other job other than, like, emergency service workers and teachers and doctors and things like that, like, there isn't really that standard that they have to maintain. If you just work at Xerox and you tweet, "I don't like black people," I don't know if you should be fired for that, man. Like, as long as you're not bringing that energy in the workplace, like, do you? But if you are...
I don't know if I agree with that, man. Really? I don't know if I agree with that, dude.
If there's any semblance of that in your character in the workplace where we have control, then I think that's a fireable offense.
So if I work at Xerox and I'm a fucking... If I'm working at Xerox, it's like, what, printing paper or some shit?
Yeah.
I'm printing paper... And I say, I fucking hate black people.
On Twitter. Or
on Twitter. You know, like.
But who would know? Like, who would.
I know, but, like, it's coming from your account, right? Yeah, it's like you're saying that out to the world.
Yeah.
And your company finds out and it's just like, okay, like, I'm going to keep this guy employed. Like, that causes so many issues because you can say, well, why the fuck is Xerox hiring fucking a racist? Why is Harvey's fucking hiring a racist?
Yeah.
Like, someone from fucking Harvey's tweets out, like, "I hate Jewish people." Like, that person should be fucking fired, man.
You know, here's the thing, though.
Like, I don't know what that person should absolutely be fired.
Here's the thing. It only becomes an issue when there's a big enough mob. And that's why I know that companies don't actually give a fuck. Because, like, okay, Xerox example, because we don't know anyone works at Xerox, so it's easy to shit.
The Xerox,
right?
Like, marketing guy's like, yeah, bro, like, what the fuck? He's like, every time, it's always me.
We'll get off this topic in a bit. But, yeah, they tweet, "I don't like black people." And literally, the company doesn't know how to find that, right? But if someone tweets to Xerox and they're like, "Yo, employee has said this, you should fire him." If that tweet gets, like, zero views and, like, sure, the Xerox social media manager sees it.
They're doing, like, a risk analysis. They're like, here, the social media team's like, here's, like, what comes with person, this if we don't.
One person has pointed it out and it hasn't gone viral. No one said anything. Okay. I doubt they're going to do anything. Sure. Now, if 1,000 people like that tweet and retweet that tweet and make a whole deal out of it, then the company is like, oh, this is bad on our brand. We don't actually really care about what this person tweeted, but, like, there's eyes on this now. Let's get rid of this guy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's, like, an incredibly... I think we, like, agree on
generally,
certain parts of it. Yeah, I think that, like, the nuances are too hard to define. Like, you know what I mean?
Like
with
said,
specific,
it's not black and white. You can't.
Yeah, yeah, like specific professions, for example. Like if you're in charge of like helping manage people or like, yeah, you know, teach people, like, yeah, I don't think you should post explicit content of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it's your right. Like, it's totally your right to do it.
Yeah,
like,
you probably shouldn't, but yeah.
Yeah, and like that's where the moral high ground just becomes a bit of a gray area, because you can easily say, well, like, why can't I do this? Now work is dictating how I live my life normally. 100%. And I don't think that work should ever do that.
Yeah.
But it's the same freedom of speech conversation that we're...
Man, have you seen the show Severance on Apple?
No.
Oh, it's crazy. It's the concept of like, it basically like separates you from your work self.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about this.
Brother, yeah. So 9 to 5 is a version of you. And then 5 to whatever is like a whole other version that doesn't know what happens at work. And the work self doesn't know what happens when they're outside of work.
That's cool.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't do that.
So let us know what you think. Should an employer be able to fire you based on what you post on social media? I think we'll get a lot of mixed responses out there.
Let's get it.
Let's jump to our next topic. Speaking of the workplace, I came across this really interesting article, and the headline was "Why You Should Stop Trying to Be Happy at Work."
Here we go.
And I know your first like thought is like, "Okay, what the fuck?" Like, you know. But I'll read you a little bit. So there's a quote in here that says, "Given that the average person spends about 90,000 hours at work in a lifetime," which is nuts, by the way, "it's important to figure out how to feel better about the time you spend earning a living. Here's the catch. If you set happiness as your primary goal, you can end up feeling the opposite. An alternative solution is to make your make meaning your vocational goal." Mm. So it sparked a conversation of like, what does happiness mean in the workplace, and what does meaning mean in the workplace? Like, so is meaning more impactful for fulfillment, or is happiness? Can work ultimately make you a happier person? I don't know.
Yeah. Do you find if you have meaning that you'd be happy at work? Like, if you find that what I'm doing is making a difference and it's like challenges me, probably not, actually. It's
it
not
probably
really mutually exclusive.
You raise a good question, because it's like, it probably, like the last answer probably comes down to like where you work, and what you do, right?
Yeah.
But like, I think, I don't know if work can make you happier.
No.
I don't think it, I think you can maintain your happiness through a job that doesn't take away from that and cause you stress or make you feel bad or anything that. But I think finding meaning in what you do is important, and like finding out a job that like helps you become a better version of yourself, for example, it helps, you know, challenges you, can help teach you, occupies your time in ways that, you know, make you become a more productive human being, I think are all elements of like what goes into making you a happier person. But I don't think that you should focus on a job that is going to provide you happiness, because that just means that you're an unhappy person, in my opinion.
You already kind of need to be happy and then bring that to the, or I shouldn't say that, because you can be unhappy at any point in life. But I think that the job is not going to bring you happiness. That's up to you to find outside of work, but you need to bring that into what you do.
Yeah.
Because again, 90,000 hours in your lifetime.
Yeah.
40 hours a week. You're doing this more than anything else.
Yeah.
You should at least somewhat enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you can. Enjoy parts of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not everyone enjoys every single hour of their job, but you're doing so much of this thing. You gotta
make it worth it.
It's a privilege to even kind of say that, because I know
it's so true. It's so fucking true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll check ourselves at the door. But like, I think that like, I think
as much as possible.
This is a message for a lot of like new people coming into the workforce, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, very specifically in like advertising and marketing. Sure. Think about how many like conversations you had around like personal branding and how you need to have a personal brand, and that should show up in like your online presence and your workplace and all that kind of stuff.
Are you happy though?
Yeah, when you think about it, like there's a lot of really eager, excited people coming into the workplace expecting that like I get to work at this cool agency and that's going to make me a happier person.
Yeah.
I think those people often find that like the industry will let you down in ways that like you probably couldn't anticipate or predict.
Yeah, we would always even talk about that. Like, there'd be like more senior people that would be like, "Oh, it's so cute that you're so like, energized,
like, eager,
about this.
And all.
Wait till you get to where I'm at. They'll just always make that as a joke of like, this doesn't last long, pretty much. And like, I already kind of had that in my head of like, okay, let me just enjoy this blue sky thinking, this wide eyed moment.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna get to where this person is, where they're a little bit jaded,
very cynical. Yeah, it's beating you up a little bit, right? And which I think, like, it goes back to the original question. It's like, if you're looking to find meaning in what you do, then that's great. But it, like, happiness comes from places outside of the workplace, unless you get to work around like puppies and like kittens and stuff all the time, which like that's like pretty jokes.
Pretty good, yeah.
But I feel like generally speaking, like, it's very hard to like use work. And I like the headline, why you should stop trying to be happy at work.
At work,
I mean, it's very nuanced because I try and show up as my best self.
You're bringing happiness to work.
I'm bringing happiness to work.
You're not going to work to be happy.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And it's funny how like you can showcase yourself in different ways at work, right? And they're not always the best versions of yourself, right? I had a conversation with my boss today where she, like, we had like a one-on-one, and she was just kind of like, before we jump into this, like, are you good? And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about? She's like, well, like, you last week, I could tell that you were like, you know, maybe a little bit stressed or high strung. There's a lot going on.
I like that.
And that kind of like showcases in the work that you're doing and your presence at work. She's like, I felt that.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, like, I'm working to manage myself because like, I don't want to be perceived a certain way, or I don't want to look at like, you know, myself as a very, you know, high strung or stressful person.
Yeah.
But as a person who's in a leadership position, it's really important for me to like be able to manage that for myself. And I think that comes down to the question of like, okay, I'm not looking to be happy at work, but it also means that I have like a set of like standards that I have to have myself, so that like people don't necessarily see me as anything other than a person who's trying to do a good job or find meaning in what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you bodied that.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I like that a manager is able to point that out, because sometimes you just get the, and I think I just do this generally sometimes as well. It's like, yo, you good?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't really want a response. You kind of just want, yeah, of course, you know?
But yeah.
So like, I've had managers that have asked that question, but in a way where it's like there's not so much I can, I'm not really, it's not a safe enough environment for me to actually tell you.
Like, come out to you like that. Yeah. You know?
But she actually pointed something out and said a specific kind of scenario. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Check yourself at the door is what she's basically said.
Pretty much.
No, I'm just kidding. Shout out to my boss, Jess. I fuck with you, Jess.
Yeah. That's a good question, though.
Yeah. What? Yeah. It's always a good discussion point here.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I have a boss that I have like a good relationship with that allows me to have those kind of conversations candidly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump to our next topic here. We're flying through these. This is actually kind of an interesting one. This is kind of flying totally outside of, you know, the realm of
workplace
and all this kind of stuff. This is talking about professional sports and professional athletes. So if you've been following the NHL or the NBA over the last year, there's two guys that they've hyped up an insane amount. An insane, insane amount.
Generational
talent. So there's Connor Bedard. He's like this like superstar like hockey player. He's like just drafted first overall this year. And there's Victor Wembanyama. So who got drafted by the Spurs first overall?
First round.
These two guys were hyped up by the league for an entire year. And you look in the comment section. Like, I didn't really think anything of it too much, but when I started to go through like the comment section after a while, like the storyline quickly shifted from, oh, like, you know, these guys are going to be so great in the league. Wow, it's like so exciting to watch like young talent come into the league. He's hype. To like, oh, this guy's getting, you know, more airtime than, you know, actual NHL or NBA players. Like, you know, now you're starting to get haters
coming.
Right?
Yeah,
that's when you're starting to get some haters. So when does, so my question here is like, when does marketing prospects or players go too far? Because these guys already have so much pressure on them that if they don't deliver, or like the first screw up they make, or they get injured or anything like that, we talked before, it's like kind of like Zion Williamson,
who's
still a phenomenal player, but he's had to battle some like mental hurdles. Like, how does this affect their game? And like, when does this go too far? And when is the appropriate time to like maybe balance that and scale that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of guilty of it, of treating these players like they're not people, you know? I think that just happens with, The way things are reported, this happens with social media, how we're posting, how we're talking about these players. We treat them like robots for the most part.
Straight up.
The thing is, it's happening even earlier than ever before because of social media and because of the advancement of the game and things like that. But like, they are scoping players from middle school.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's crazy.
These tapes that go on online and they're viral from middle school, and people are following their journey all the way until they get to the NBA, for example.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like Victor, like he's been on the radar for a while.
Like it's 2 years almost.
I would say even longer, to be honest, right? Because he's like what, 7'6", and he moves like fucking 6'8".
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's crazy.
I think it puts an insane amount of pressure on like he's what 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
Think about us at 18 or 19. I would crumble under that pressure.
Oh, yeah. I didn't fucking know. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah, I could barely spell my name, right? But, like, I've seen him on a podcast with J.J. Redick where they brought up that same question of, like, yo, they're calling you a generational talent. How do you feel about that? And he's calm and poised and just, like, he's like, I don't let that get to me. I know who I am. I know what I bring to the table. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, but not a lot of people your age are like that.
Yeah. Imagine having that kind of mentality going into it too. It's
insane.
Nuts.
Yeah, I don't know so much about the Connor situation. Maybe you can speak on that. But I think this is a result of us treating them like they are serving us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, like you owe me entertainment.
You owe me entertainment. You owe me the best career possible because we're projecting it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get away from that. It's not going to change. Sports journalism and sports fandom is what it is, but it's such a disservice to these guys.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Straight up. Yeah. And we've seen that in players like, let's call it Ben Simmons, for example.
It gets to you, man.
Yeah, he's mentally never... He might not ever come back from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's amazing to me that LeBron James has been able to do what he's been able to do.
Yeah. Well, it puts things in perspective. Like when you deliver and exceed every expectation,
pretty much,
it's like, that is greatness.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like that is pure class, pure excellence, brilliance, to be honest. Let's jump into our last topic of the day. This one should be a fun one.
Let's do it. Let's close. The world's first fully electric flying car has legal approval in the U.S. to begin test runs.
Skirt.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So it's the first of its kind. I'm going to give us some of the stats. It can drive up to 35 miles per hour on land, which is not very impressive, but it's the first that can do that and also fly.
Yeah.
And it can fly vertical takeoff up to 10,000 feet in the air. This is kind of crazy, man. I'm sorry, because like we've seen this stuff in like Back to the Future
and yeah,
like
Star Wars and all this
way back of like flying cars. You're on road and then you can just get up and fly, but they have the technology to actually do this shit.
Yeah.
And the price tag right now is $300K, which I mean, obviously,
you know, well, it's actually not that crazy.
Not as crazy as I thought. Yeah. And pre-orders for a 2025 release date. So a year and a half, and like we could potentially like see test runs for this shit where it's just driving and then flies over another car. How does it land? I have no fucking idea.
Uber fly kind
of
thing.
Yo, man, I'm just like, what do you think of this shit? I just feel like we should be diverting our energy into other things personally, but you can't really tell a private company what to do. But
I'll be honest, this is a great advancement in technology, man.
Oh, like, 100%.
Do I think that this, I don't know what I feel more nervous about, this or the self-driving cars, but
definitely
this, yeah. Imagine crashing,
oh my God,
bro.
Crashing into a fucking building. Like,
imagine fucking crashing.
Oh,
but like the way that this could go,
yeah,
could alleviate, could make cities and the makeup of cities drastically different, especially like big cities like Toronto.
Yeah.
Like imagine a city like Toronto without traffic.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fantastic. Like, that would be amazing. Imagine if you could just rip all the way up down King Street without bumping into another car.
Flying in the air.
Like, that'd be unbelievable, right? Like, that'd be incredible.
Yeah.
I think this would be very cool. This is another one of those things where it's like, I'm probably going to let this marinate for about 15 years before it becomes regular life. But,
yeah. Like, by 2035, they would get it down to, like, a $35K price range. You can say whatever you want at this point, right? Like, that's so kind of long from now. But I don't really know if – I can't really see a world where this would just be, like, regular. Like, the average, like, person that's driving a beat-down Honda Civic right now can, like –
I drive a Civic, by the way. Thank you.
Not a beat down. Yeah, you drive a pretty nice Honda Civic, right? But driving just a regular car is able to like get a flying car, and like what does it look like when two of them are beside each other?
Yeah,
no lane in this. I don't know.
The government needs to figure out like licensing and stuff behind all this, because like not anyone who has a regular license now should own one of those things. So it's like, what does that process look like? It begs more questions than the actual car itself. Like how do flight paths work?
And that's what, like, not to stay too long on this, but I'm like, that's where I'm like, we should be diverting our energy to other things, because I can't even remember what I was trying to say, but I'm ultimately trying to say, like, why are we trying to figure this shit out right now? Like, I feel like there are other ways to like solve the traffic problem. Number one, I think we should be driving less in general instead of like creating new cars that fly. Like, can we figure out ways to make cities just like more walkable and use other modes of transportation other than just like having even more vehicles?
Yeah, like, you know? I have a hard time disagreeing with that. But personally, I think it's like, it's a showcase of advancement, right? 100%. And I'm like, I 100%. Think that's pretty cool. And I think that the potential of something like that being integrated in our daily lives, you know, maybe 20 years from now, would be very cool. Like, we could tell our kids one day, it's like, oh yeah, like, remember we used to like use keys and like drive cars and like drive on the streets?
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, grandpa, what the fuck, what you used to drive on streets?
We get in the Uber autonomous flight car and it just takes us to where we need to go.
Uber teleport,
you man know what I mean? Yeah, right. Eventually, right?
Yeah, like, eventually cars aren't even gonna be a thing, brother. We aren't gonna be a thing.
We got this crazy episode. We talked about a lot. Flying cars, Little Uzi's album,
firing people at work, happiness, you know, it's tough. But that was episode 17. And unfortunately, our last episode, probably for another couple weeks, the kid's going on a bit of a Euro trip. So
post pictures, man.
I'll be posting pictures. One of the topics that I wanted to chat through today that we didn't quite get to was managing culture shock and how to react to it. I feel like this is a good topic for when I'm back.
I want to know how it's going
to
be like.
I would love to do it. I'd love to talk
about Ireland, Sweden.
And Sweden. Yeah. So it should be a good time. But thank you so much for listening. If you've ever been to Sweden or Ireland, hit me up, because I'm not really sure what I'm going to be doing. But have a blessed morning, afternoon, evening, night, whatever time you're listening to this. Thank you very much, and stay tuned for Malik's Euro trip surprise.
Let's get it.
Peace.